As Al Mohler said in his podcast on Thursday, there are two types of evil in this world. There is natural evil and there's moral evil. Now, natural evil is the result of the curse of sin. And we see that displayed so vividly on creation. It comes in the form of tornadoes and hurricanes and tsunamis and floods and fires and earthquakes. Speaking of earthquakes, Afghanistan was struck by a 6.3 earthquake last Saturday, and the estimated number of people killed so far has been 1,000. That number they expect to significantly rise. And then there's moral evil, which does mean human responsibility, and it is seen in the works of the flesh, which include bitterness and anger, murder, drunkenness, envy, adultery, immorality, lying, stealing, cheating. The list goes on and on. And of course, such moral evil was evident this past Saturday. I think it's ironic that they had an earthquake over there in that area a week ago Saturday, and the Hamas terrorists entered Israel and kidnapped, raped, and murdered Israelites, even Americans, a week ago Saturday. And of course, this atrocity continues to unfold. Now, in light of the natural evil, and especially, and this will be our focus this morning, the moral evil we face in this world, what is to be the response of God's people? Do we just kind of sit there? What is to be the response? Well, Psalm 37, and we'll just look at the first 11 verses this morning, but really so much of the psalm deals with God's eventual dealings with the wicked. Psalm 37, written by David when he was older, is known as a wisdom psalm, which gives us divine counsel when we are troubled and afflicted by moral evil. Well, our focus this morning, as I said, will be on the first 11 verses, where we find our first point, the destiny of the wicked. And then number two, divine counsel to the righteous. And number three, the outcome of following this divine counsel. Well, we see under point number one, the destiny of the wicked. And we find this destiny in a number of statements in the verses before us. For example, in verse 2, David states, "For they shall soon," don't miss out on that word, "soon be cut down and wither as the green herb." Verse 9 adds, "For evildoers shall be cut off." Friends, the wicked's time to grow, to prosper, is only for a brief time. It's only temporary. Verse 10 continues, "For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be." Like green lush grass, evil people seemingly thrive and flourish. They have their prosperous days in the sun. They have their fame. They have their fortune. They have their standing. They have the applause of men. But like grass and like the green herb, they will wither. Friends, it's just a matter of time. Their last meal on death row is coming. And then they face terrible, unthinkable judgment. And so rather than covet their ways, the wicked should be viewed with pity and compassion. We should care that the soul that sins, it will die. Do you care? Does that matter to you? The eternal flames of hell soon await those without Christ. I use the word unthinkable here, really the judgment coming to those that know not Christ, to those who are walking in evil ways, is really unimaginable. To suffer eternal damnation forever. forever. And so the end of the of evildoers, any apparent prosperity is transient. It soon passes and perishes as do the wicked themselves. Well, we come now to point number two, divine counsel to the righteous. And what counsel does David give us? Well, first, regarding the wicked, he says in verse 1 and in verse 7, "Fret not thyself because of the evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." Verse 7, "Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." The Hebrew word used here for fret literally means do not get heated. Or we might say, don't get all worked up. Friends, to fret is to worry. To fret is to have heartburn, to become vexed. And so David is telling us, don't get all worked up when you see the prosperity of the wicked. Don't be like Asaph in Psalm 73 and be envious of them. For again, as we have just stated, they have a terrible end. The end of their ways is death. And so don't fret, because it only leads, as verse 8 tells us, to evil. Really, what's that saying? Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Remember again, physically, spiritually, fretting is not healthy. It's not healthy. I told some of you that on a recent flight, I requested spicy tomato juice. I don't know what possessed me, but I requested not just tomato juice, but spicy tomato juice. Well, I could tell almost immediately that it was a bad idea. But because I didn't want to waste it, I said, well, I'll drink it. And my wife had a cup of water, so I would take a drink of this spicy tomato juice, and then I'd immediately need a drink of water. But again, I ended up drinking it all. And that night, my body got all worked up. It literally wiped me out. It was one of the worst nights of my life. Never again will I drink spicy tomato juice, whether it's on a flight or whether it's in my home. Never again. But what again is the point? Don't fret. Don't fret. It's just like drinking flaming tomato juice. And then the second instruction for the righteous, verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Verse 5, trust also in him. Instead of worrying and envying, and we are to simply trust God and to do what is right. It's trust and obey. Faith cures fretting. Faith sees reality. And the reality is God is in control. So lean on him. We say these verses so often, but trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. And after all, he is our sovereign King of kings. And then the second instruction, trust in the Lord and then do good. Well, David really then, as he continues his admonishments, unfolds what is good. He admonishes us in verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord. What is David's advice here? Replace worry and envy with a conscious delight in the Lord. What a great exchange. You replace fretting with delighting in the Lord. David is saying, cheer, thrill, wow your heart and mind by considering how great and wonderful and awesome God is. Again, what a contrast to fretting. As the wicked seek to find their delight in things and circumstances, we find our joy, our pleasure, our contentment, our satisfaction in the author of life. God himself, who said, "I am come that ye might have life and that ye might have it more abundantly." And then David's fourth instruction, commit thy way unto the Lord. Now the word commit literally means to roll. The point here is we are to roll our delays, our burdens, our questions, our frustrations unto the Lord. We are to entrust to him all the cares and the burdens of life. And that's a lot of burdens, a lot of questions, a lot of frustrations, a lot of tears. But honestly, God says, cast your cares upon me. Cast your burdens on the Lord, for he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. He is the one who is to carry our load, all the worries of life. We commit them to him. And then fifth, David further admonishes us in verse 7, rest in the Lord. And here is the rest of silence. Here is the surrender of our self-defense. Here is the stop trying to make it happen in your own strength mindset. How often is true, you know, when we are faced with an issue, maybe a question mark, maybe a difficulty, we immediately begin to think, how can I see my way through this? What are the steps I need now to take? But what does God want us to immediately do rather than calculate? How can I see my way through this? How can I solve this problem? We are to rest in the Lord. We are to give it to him. Again, it's a quiet resignation. So rather than seek to defend and vindicate ourselves, as the sixth instruction tells us, we wait patiently on the Lord. By the way, rest and wait just go together. We rest, we wait patiently on the Lord who never fails to be faithful to us, whoever lives to make intercession for us. And then the seventh and eighth words of counsel from David are seen in verse 8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. And why? They only cause harm. And such expended energy is really madness. This selfish anger and wrath zaps the energy we need to love and to serve God. And it is the opposite of trusting, committing, resting, waiting on the Lord, of delighting ourselves in the Lord, of waiting patiently for him. And so again, when we follow David's godly counsel and stop fretting because of evildoers and stop being full of wrath and stop being angry and instead trust the Lord, delight ourselves in the Lord, commit our way unto the Lord, rest in the Lord, wait patiently for the Lord. And by the way, there is a progression there. It's just not random. When we are trusting in the Lord, when we have stopped fretting and we begin to trust in the Lord, then we will begin to delight ourselves in the Lord. We will then be wanting to commit our way unto the Lord. And as we commit our way unto the Lord, we will be resting in the Lord. We will be waiting patiently for the Lord. Then we can claim and enjoy, again, the outcome of following this divine counsel. And here is the fruit of walking in the wisdom of this psalm. And we see really five outcomes of fulfilling David's advice to the righteous. And again, notice the progression. Because we trust in the Lord and do good, Verse 3 promises us, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily shalt thou be fed. As for us, this promised land is simply enjoying, experiencing the blessings God gives our living now. This manna is found in experiencing the faithfulness of God, who says, I will provide all your need according to the riches and glory through Christ Jesus. And because we are trusting in the Lord, we then delight ourselves in the Lord. And verse 4 assures us, God will give us then the desires of our hearts. As we delight ourselves in the Lord, He gives us our delight. And the truth here is, He becomes our delight, which means He gives us more and more of Himself. One really obvious way you can tell you're growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, you seek more and more in life the living God. You enjoy certain aspects of life, but they don't become the focus of your heart and mind. You truly can say, Lord, you are my light and my salvation. You are the one in whom my heart pants after. You delight in Him. One author writes, longings fixed on Him fulfill themselves. It was said of Martin Luther as he walked the streets of Wittenberg, Germany, there comes a man that can have anything of God he likes. And the reason? Because Luther delighted himself in the Lord. God was the rejoicing of his heart. And then when we trust, when we delight ourselves in the Lord, we then commit our way unto the Lord. We trust in Him, and we are assured, verse 5, that God will bring His promises to pass. And what is the blessed result here? Verse 6, and He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. Friends, as God fulfills these godly desires in our hearts, God's righteousness is revealed to us to the degree it shines in brilliance through us like the noonday sun. The light of life radiates through us to a dark and evil world. And we become a walking testimony. We become a human billboard of the greatness of our God. When people look at my life, when people look at your life, what kind of God do they see? I think of those verses in the Sermon on the Mount. Christ said, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And that light giveth its light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works." And what are those works? They're the righteousnesses of God. And glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Then outcome number 4, when we trust in the Lord, when we delight ourselves in the Lord, when we commit our ways unto the Lord, then we will wait upon the Lord. We will rest in the Lord. And verse 9 assures us that we will inherit the earth. And what does that mean for us? Well, that means God will take care of us not only in this world, but in the eternal world to come. Now remember, in contrast, the wicked will be, verse 10, cast off. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. And then the fifth outcome, really David repeats for emphasis the idea here of God's forever care and regard for the meek. For he says, but the meek, in other words, the Christ-like, who face the ups and downs of life without envy, anger, or complaint, shall inherit the earth. while they also enjoy, and here really is the outcome, the fifth outcome, the peace of God which rules their hearts. Here David is talking great peace. The King James uses the terminology, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. And so what we have is we have trust, followed by delight, followed by commitment, followed by waiting and resting in the Lord, which all leads to peace. We don't fret, we experience God's peace. So like Christ, we can say blessed. Really, that's a plural word, blessed. Happy are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Friends, following the wisdom of this psalm gives us God's perspective, especially when we are faced with the moral evil of today. And this evil is everywhere. This evil is pronounced clearly. It's shouting at us. But again, let us understand, evil men will soon meet their demise. They will be no more. They will not be found. But the righteous, those who fret not, but trust in the Lord, who delight themselves in the Lord, who commit their way unto the Lord, who rest and wait patiently for the Lord, who cease from anger and forsake wrath, do experience the abundance of doing right. For God is their vision, and therefore they dwell in the land and are fed. They experience the desires of their hearts. They live out God's will, which means they then radiate God's righteousness, and they experience peace found in a land that is fairer than day. Friends, let's take to heart David's divine counsel for God's people, and specifically for those struggling with moral evil in this world. Let's leave here knowing that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Even those Hamas terrorists one day will bow their knee and say, Jesus, you are Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Oh, let's trust, let's obey him. Might he be our vision. Friends, let's make sure that we are on the winning side.